take a quick drink of water here. So I've been preaching on bearing fruit. And I believe, as far as this part of the message, this will be it for the day, for this message. I've been teaching on it for a couple weeks, about how we're grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ. We are no longer an individual planting. We're no longer growing wild. That's where we give up our life to find. Jesus said, if you give up your life, you will find it, but you got to find it in me. He said, I and you and me. How do you think that gets there? We're grafted into that vine. We become part of it. We start drawing our life from the vine. That life has a whole great big circle when you sit down and you start breaking down the growth of any plant. Every plant on this earth gives us life. Photosynthesis. Leaves. We look at leaves, we say, oh, it's such a great, beautiful tree, right? Look at all the leaves. Well, the leaves don't mean that it's bearing fruit. And every fruit of every tree has seed. Every one of them. I've got these, we call them helicopters. I got silver maples all over my property. I've got 11, well, take it back. We lost one and lost one in a tornado. One, I accidentally cut the root, so we've got two dead cottonwoods. But they're pushing 90 feet tall, and they cover our property in cotton balls. Every one of them is a seed. So month and a half later, I will have to clean out everything, the gutters, because there's going to be trees growing. Because every plant has a purpose to bring forth life. And that's what Jesus was trying to make us. Our goal as believers is to bring forth life through fruit. And that fruit is supposed to bear forth seed. But in the garden, see, Adam and Eve, they messed up, right? Yep, they did. And they knew it instantly. The second Adam took a bite of that fruit, they realized they were naked. What did they do? They went and got leaves. They went and they found a way naturally to come before the King of Kings, the creator of the universe, to cover up their shame. God could see through the leaves. Listen, you're sitting here right now. We're all clothed, right? Ooh, we look good. We look sharp. God can see through it. He can see your Spanx. He can see that hole in your sock. We think we're fooling God. We take things and we use them to cover our shame. I study the Bible 10 hours a week. I pray 20 hours a week. I memorize 3 scriptures a week. I make sure that I sing for an hour a day. Those are all good things and are things you should be doing. Tithing. Coming to church. Those are things you should do. A leaf has a purpose. And we still need those leaves. I can't fully understand. I watch people trying to grow tomatoes. I mean, I love tomatoes when I'm growing them. There's nothing that beats a garden fresh tomato. Except a garden fresh cucumber. And people are telling me, cut all the leaves off that aren't bearing fruit. Well, I cut all the bottom ones off. But I don't want all of my fruit scorched either. Sometimes that leaf protects it. That leaf is also putting things out. I don't remember how old I was when I realized the leaves aren't the thing taken into water. It's the roots. That water hits it and plants look beautiful, don't they? Oh yeah, they're so shiny. But the reality is that water has to go to the earth and that root system. The vine has to pull all the water up. That water turns into sugars because of other nutrients inside the ground. Recently, I cut down a maple tree in my backyard. It was growing under my shed. and it was about this big around now. I cut it down. I looked out one day and I said, if I don't cut it down now, I'll never cut it down. Because I've been talking about it for 10 years. I went out and I cut it down. 2 or 3 weeks later, that thing is just running with sap. And it was sweet. All of that sugar goes up and it goes to those branches and it goes out there to where all these little capillaries are out there and they've got some leaves, but all those buds were the fruit. Those whirligigs, helicopters, whatever you want to call them, they're going to grow there and they're going to create possibility for more trees. If we're not grafted into the vine of Jesus Christ and we're not taking our nutrition from him, what are you taking it from? Well, brother so-and-so says this. I don't give a rat's butt what brother so-and-so says. What did Jesus Christ say? Well, brother Paul said this. So what? What did Jesus say? And I apologize for the loud, my vocal cords, you know, they're disconnected. So they're just kind of doing their own thing from time to time. What difference does it make? What did Jesus say? He said, turn the other cheek. That is not an easy thing for me. Because I always told her, and she's admitted, we've talked about this before. We were newly married. First time home. And I took her from home where she was born to a land of swamps and alligators. It smelled like a giant septic tank all the time. And I was fooling around, messing around, and didn't realize, sometimes you got to read the room, right? I didn't read the room. She was raising the garage door for me. She left the garage door and went in the house. I had to get out of the car, raise the garage door, pull the car in, shut the garage door, come in. And I said, what was that for? And she slapped me right across the face. She said, I knew the second I saw your eyes, that was a mistake. I said, yeah, if you want me to fight, you got to hit me first. She said, I'll never hit it. I'll never do that again. And I've never hit her, just so you know. But for me, getting slapped or hit in the face, brother, it's on. It's all fun and games until you hit me. That has been a hard thing for me. You can talk about me. You can call me all kinds of dirty names. I'm crying out loud. I'm a Marine. What do you think they called us in boot camp? I was everything but a white boy. And we were all the same. It didn't matter the color, the race we came from. We all got used to being made fun of. But somebody slaps you, give them the other cheek. Jesus, are you nuts? I didn't like the first time. He didn't stutter, did he? He said, if they sue you and they take your shirt, give them your cloak. Say, what? If a friend comes to you and says, will you walk with me a mile? Go two. Jesus, that means I got to walk back 2 miles. But that's not the way we want. We want to fall back on Jesus. I prayed for an hour today. I gave you an offering today. I memorized John 3:16 today. How many of you, that was your first verse? You know what my second one was? John 11:35. Jesus wept. My dad said, okay, everybody knows John 3:16. I want you to memorize John 3:17. For God so loved the world that he sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. That the world, He didn't condemn us by sending Jesus. So all of our leaves, the things that we do that we think makes us holy, that's not fruit, folks. That's just stuff we're supposed to do. The fruit comes through a period of time, right? Not every tree has the same season. Not every tree bears the same fruit. We're supposed to bear fruit in season. John 15:8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." We want to glorify God, right? That's our purpose in life, is to glorify our Father. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify in your Father in heaven." Your good works, folks. Not your Bible study time. Not your praise time. Not your prayer time. Not your fasting time. Your good works. Those things are not this. What's the purpose of a fruit besides to bear seed? It's somebody to eat it. If the tree does not have good fruit, the tree gets cut down. I drove past Osborne's Orchard yesterday, and as I looked, I was just remembering, man, there's 800 trees on that property. It doesn't look like it. But the article I read in the paper, they said we have 800 trees. That is, yeah, that's amazing. And let me tell you, they find some great big deer antlers sit back there, too. I've been chasing him. But in the middle, there's a pile of limbs and dead trees. When they no longer produce, they're removed. And if they're so heavy, so full, they get pruned back so that they can still produce good fruit. I like an apple about a little bit bigger than a baseball. If they're the size of softballs, how many of you ever kind of tear the side of your lips? That hurts. If I can't sink my teeth into it, I just don't enjoy it as much. But a nice size apple. Our apple trees on our property, because they've been neglected, they produced golf ball sized. You might have one side that isn't bug infested, that isn't distorted because it couldn't get the right nutrients. So you got one bite, and you threw the apple away. The world is supposed to see this stuff. It's supposed to bring life to them. But here, let me tell you what we think is the fruit. We think the Word of God is the fruit. We want to make them understand John 3:16 before we show them. James said, "Show me your faith by your works." Not your praying time, not your church time, your Bible reading time, not how much you tithe, by your works, the things people see us. We're supposed to love one another first and foremost. That's agape love. That love is incomprehensible. That's why they created the word agape, because we don't really understand agape. Last week I shared something about, I think it was last week, about a soldier. I look at it and it's always baffled me, because I'm thinking, okay, everybody can, if you run fast enough, which if the grenade hits, depends on how far it traveled, you got 3 seconds for a grenade. An M67 fragmentation grade grenade has 3 seconds. And don't think that you can John Wayne it. You can't pull the pin with your teeth. Don't think you can milk it, because you started the clock. There is no such thing as milking a grenade. The second you release it, the fuse has lit. You have 3 seconds to get it as far away from you as possible. And understand, the kill radius on a grenade like that is 45 feet. If it dropped right here, nobody's safe. But yet I read these stories and how people got medals posthumously. Because the Lance Corporal, the grenade landed in the middle of him and somebody jumped on it. He took the full blow. Jesus said, no greater love is any man than this, that he had laid down his life for his friends. He said, I call you friends. They still didn't understand what he was about to do. Jesus threw himself on a grenade. Do you understand that? That when that Lance Corporal did that, he said goodbye to being a father, a husband, grandfather, a pillar in his community. He said goodbye to his dreams. That's agape, folks. But the world does not see that when they look at the church for the most part. Because we look at each other and say, I thank God I'm not like the church down the street. Or I thank God I'm not like them. That's wrong. Exactly. We have got to remember the works that we're doing out there are the fruit that people see. They don't want to hear John 3:16 one more time. Ever since I was a little boy, I've seen it on the TV at every football game, at every NASCAR race. There it was. Turn number two. Or the home team's end zone, John 3:16. And then people lost their minds when Steve Austin came up with Austin 3:16. Who cares? We got more bent out of shape over that than we did people perverting the word of God for personal gain? For manipulation of control? It's not my job to control you. If God can't control you, what do you think I can do? I mean, seriously. There's days I do things I was like, oh, that was dumb. I knew better. You think I could control myself all the time. Okay. I don't know about you, but every time I read this scripture, I hear the Newsboys song, Shine. Because that's what it's based on. Let them see your good works and rejoice in your Father. Titus 3:14 says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful in the body of Christ. You start here first. Yeah, you can't support everybody. You can't keep financially meeting their needs. That's an impossibility. That's why the beginning, in the early church, when they sold everything and they redistributed it, the people that knew how to make money made more money. The people that only knew how to spend it, spent it and ended up in the same boat. Sometimes people got to be thrown off the diving board into the water and learn how to swim. When they got me up on that diving board at Paris Island, I'm standing there like I didn't get the course. I got into it secondhand. Because I got moved to another platoon, and they said, okay, jump off the diving board. What? You don't swim in combat boots, flak jacket, and helmet, and a rifle, and a pack. You don't do that. I jumped off of that. That water caught hold of that helmet, about jerked my head off. And I'm treading water. All right, now take your rifle off. Praise God, they're dummies. Took that rifle off and I was supposed to do something else, but it got caught on my pack. Again, I didn't have the teaching. Got caught on my pack and I lost it. Some of you know what happened afterwards. Oh, you'd think I just called all those instructors every dirty name I knew. I lost my rifle to the bottom of the pool. Personally, I'd have gladly kicked the pack off and dove for it. But nope, get out of the water. That's okay. I ain't arguing. I'm just going to be, yes, sir. go do what I got to do. We're supposed to be fruitful. We're supposed to produce something that the world can see and they can rejoice. And they say, that is a Christian. That is what Christians are supposed to be. It's not your job to make them believe either. There's a man, I will consider him, he's more of an acquaintance, but we're friendly acquaintances. And one time he said something, he's never stepped foot in here. And I forget who it was he told. He said, he's doing it right. I was like, how do you know? Well, I've later learned that his dad is very religious. Very religious. Not a necessarily, he's a believer, but he's very religious. To my knowledge, none of his kids serve the Lord. They don't want to. But he knew enough to know there's a way to do it and a way not to do it. First Peter 2:12 says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Who? The Gentiles. In this case, he's talking about the unbelievers, people who don't know. Our conduct should be honorable. We should treat people the same, whether they're of the house of God or not. That when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. God wants to come down and say, what did you think of Phil? One of the hardest things for me was when Pastor Dosek was set up to ordain me. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to enter a period of a year. You're going to start your church. And after a year, I'm going to call people in your community. You're going to give me a list of people that you know, and I'm going to ask them what they think about you as a human being, as personally, how you conduct yourself. He said, and then I'm going to call people you don't know. I'm shaking a little bit because of the people that do know me. No. No. But he called, and when he talked to me, and he said, all right, you passed. He said, everybody we spoke to had nothing evil to say about you. Thank God. It wasn't me, it was God, because there was a time in life. Oh, yeah, they'd had lots. Luke 8:11, Jesus taught the parable of the sower. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Your fruit, the purpose of your fruit is because the word of God is inside of it. And it's developing. That fruit grows. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty on the fruit because there's a lot of parallels to human beings. And that fruit, that seed inside that fruit grows, and it's those seeds are taking from the flesh. And every bit of what we do should be fueling the word of God to cause it to grow. It's not my job to plow the field. It's my job to produce the fruit with the seed in it. That when people say, hey, you did right by me. You didn't have to, but you did. There's a song from probably the mid-80s called The Touch of the Master's Hand. It talks about a guy at an auction, and there's this beat-up violin. I mean, you know it. There's got to be three of you. Okay, four. He's talking about this violin that's beat up, and it's at an auction. And the guy starts off, who'll give me $1? Who'll give me two? Now, I know Carsey, if she's got the opportunity to buy a violin for a buck, she might jump on it. Hey, she can play violin. For me, it's going to hang on the wall. Who'll give me $2? $2? Who'll give me $3? And he couldn't get beyond $2. And in the song, an old man stood up, went up, tuned it up a little bit, pulled the bow out, and started playing. And everybody heard the music. See, that was us before God tuned us up. That was us before we allowed God to take out the things that are bad. You are not inherently necessarily an evil person. Just because we're born into sin, we still need to receive Jesus Christ. But not everybody is a serial killer. That happens due to abuse most of the time. Bundy, the one that dressed like the clown. I can't think of it. Ted, not Ted Bundy, but anyhow. They all, every last one of them had a reason. You know what? Even Hitler had a reason for what he did. I don't know what it was, because the man who showed him compassion when Hitler was broke and freezing in Germany was his best friend, was a Jew. He gave him his coat. So I don't know what took place, but there was obviously something. Things in life change us. They bring out things. People say, well, if God let this happen, people make choices. We just sometimes have to live with the results. There's not a one of us in here who has had a perfect life. Nothing bad ever happened to you. Hogwash. Something happened. There's a reason why you are the way you are. I can tell you lots of reasons why I am the way I am, why I wanted to hurt people more than help them. But God said, you got to stop that. He said, the seed is the word of God. Oh, but brother, I got to plant that seed right now. I got to plow the ground. I've got to break it up. I got to get the seed in there. I now have to fertilize it. I now have to water it. And I now have to harvest it all in 1 hour. Are you kidding me? It's taken me 30 years to get here. And you're wanting somebody to be poof in 1 hour? God can do great things in 1 hour. Yes, he can. But we forget to give people mercy. We want them to change instantly. Break those chains in the name of Jesus. Get free from that. You are healed and delivered. Oh, as I said so right now. Person goes out of the church. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. They get out there and they get hit. The devil said, I'll see you tonight. When you're sitting alone and that Jack Daniels bottle's calling your name. I shared with you, I'm my own grandfather at 3. He lost his dad. And he never got over the depression. And to stall that hurting and the pain, he spent his entire adult life, possibly his teen life, as an alcoholic. The man drank aftershave when he didn't have alcohol. The alcohol is what killed him in the hospital because he had had a heart attack. The doctor said, you cannot have any alcohol. It will kill you. I'd still like to find those friends that brought him in the booze and slap them. He was dead within 1 hour because his heart exploded. But we don't give people time to grow. The thing we miss about the parable of the sower is there's time. Right now we're watching across this area, we're watching farmers working ground, we're watching farmers getting the seed in the ground, right? And there's some of them that they've got a lot of fields planted. We still got a lot to go. But anybody puts a seed in the ground and stands there and says, come up, come up, come up, come up, you're a fool. That seed now has to start a whole process in which it can start growing roots. And then it grows a sprout. And it breaks through that ground. The conditions have to be right for that seed. If it's too cold, the ground's not going to let it get warm enough. It will not germinate. And then that stalk starts growing. And it grows. And it grows. And it grows. And then shortly, there comes this little bit of, we call it hair. And then there's the seed. Here comes that ear of corn. Some of that corn will make its way to become seed again. Some of that corn will be used. But we fail to give people the time to mature. Do you know what happens when you pick an apple too soon? You get diarrhea. We had 6 apple trees and grapevine. And I loved them little green grapes just before they started turning. You mean, I don't know why, but it never failed. We didn't know when to stop. Thank God we lived out in the middle of nowhere, because we only had 1 bathroom in the house. And when there's 5 of you, you don't have a chance. Unless you're my size. I was the oldest, so I could. It's not good for you to consume it before it's time. The seed's not even developed. If the farmers harvest that corn before that corn has dried, the only thing they can do with it is make it silage. Because it will not do what it's supposed to do now. They let it dry, it's easier to harvest. Obviously, sweet corn is a different deal. The beans we let dry. The wheat has to get a certain dryness. Then it's better. But it's taken centuries to develop all these. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time for somebody to get in the Word of God. I am still amazed at how many people, they can quote you the Bible forwards and backwards, but yet they don't know how to actually act like a human being. And remember, everybody's got flaws. Oh no, not me. They're the first ones I take 2 steps back from, because I'm about to get hit. When you start telling me how holy you are, I got a problem. We are supposed to be holy, but I'm only holy through Jesus Christ. Because when somebody says something about me, pow, right in the kisser. And I say that, and you don't know what's hilarious? I've only ever struck 1 person. 8th grade. He hit me, and I hit him back. He never messed with me again, though. I just lost it. I got tired of it. He was a bully, and that was that. But I tell you all this stuff, and that's because God says you're not supposed to do that. I can protect my family. And you can ask my wife. I got 3 sons. They were 5 years apart. They were going through things in intervals. And every time they'd go through something, I'm like, that's my kid. I don't care who it was. I wanted to go whoop them. And a couple times, I think I told the first 2, I told them, I said, find out how big the daddy is first. I need to know this. It's important. But folks, that's not actually how we're supposed to be. Jesus said, rejoice when they persecute you and they revile against you. They know they're doing it. But by showing them love and compassion through the Word of God, you're heaping coals of repentance on them. It's not torture. Because until we cry out to Jesus Christ, we're no better. Oh, but I wasn't a bully. That's okay. You know what I've learned about bullies? They're usually abused. usually by their father. So our fruit is supposed to be something that brings life to somebody else. Joy, peace. We're not supposed to condemn them. You get saved, hallelujah, praise God. Your name is now on the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's written in blood. But Jesus wants you to be free from that. He wants you free from the anger. I drank to get over anger. The scary part was I didn't realize I was angry. I just thought I was having a good time. Then one day, a few years ago, God showed me. I was very angry. I didn't start fights. I was your happy-go-lucky drunk. My friends, they started fights. God protected me, and he delivered me from it. I thought I needed it to cope, and I didn't. I needed to learn to trust Jesus more. And as we do, we'll find God will remove the hatred we had towards somebody. He'll remove the anger you have, but you've got to give it to him. When you feel the surge as a man, well, I guess even women, when you feel that surge of testosterone coming in you, I mean, you feel like the Incredible Hulk. Why am I wanting to rip them apart? Jesus died for them. And then you just calm down. And you start praying for them. And if you pray for God to use you, Lord, help me. Help me to help them. And it's not your job to trap them in a bathroom and not let them out until they get saved. I actually know people who've done that. A little bit of a violation, personally. Because it didn't stick. When I was young, I said, yes, I'll accept Jesus, just get off my back. I'll receive the Holy Spirit, just get off my back. If you've got to guilt somebody, if you've got to spend the next 10 hours, if they're suicidal, I get it, spending that time, but you ain't got to keep shoving it. They want to see your fruit and rejoice. Hey, take them to a homeless shelter. Oh, I've got it so bad. Yeah, this dude's sleeping on a parking curb. We took the youth group down to Faith Mission, just off of High Street, down in Columbus. We pulled up there, we're going to do some things, and there's a blanket on a parking curb because there's a body under it. There's a guy asleep. He wasn't in a corner. He was in the parking lot, out in the open. I've slept on a lot of things in my time, but never a patch of concrete that wide. Let your good works be something that people see. That when they taste of that fruit, they say, praise God, I want to be like you. I want to be like Jesus. I believe one of the reasons why when Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. Because the Bible says we will see as in a mirror, plainly. We will be known as we are known. He's wanting to see his reflection. He doesn't want to see anger, hatred, fear. He wants to see himself as we change, as we begin to produce that fruit, the word of God actually has a chance. Because part of the parable of the sower is, Jesus said that the sower went and they just scattered it. Today we got these big fancy drills. And they plant one seed. Back then they scattered it, just like you kind of do grass. And some of it inevitably got to the edge of the field that wasn't ready. But it still took root, didn't it? But Jesus said because it was very shallow, it couldn't take. It sprang up and the enemy came in and stole it. He referred to them as the birds. They came along and they picked the seed. But if it's something you consume, do you know, I mean, they keep telling you if you eat a teaspoon of apple seed, you could die. I don't know. I've eaten whole apples and I'm still here. Peach seeds, cherry seeds, avocado seeds, you can't eat them, trust me. They hurt. But apple seeds, you can eat the whole thing. I'm not a pear fan, so. But you can eat the whole thing. So if somebody's eating the whole fruit, and a lot of times they did back then, they'd eat the whole apple. They ate the seed. They consumed the seed. Adam and Eve, they covered up the seed with works that were not. They were leaves. Jesus came, he took our shame. He hung on the cross naked, folks. There wasn't a loincloth on him. The Bible says cursed is everything that hangs on, everyone who hangs on the cross or on the tree. We just did it for our modesty. He was naked. Everybody who's ever crucified was naked. They were shamed. Adam and Eve covered their shame, but Jesus took our shame. So that the seed could actually do what it's supposed to do. The word of God. Let's stand. So yes, we're going to have a little bit of fellowship afterwards. And I saw lots of food coming in. And I know Alexa said, oh yeah, she said, we got plenty. She said, I got 3 pounds of Sloppy Joe. I do not want to take any home. So, yeah, lots of food. But I want you to think about this today. Are you using your leaves as fruit? Are you letting God grow you so that you can become fruit? By the way, the whole point of growing, being free from the chains, I heard a preacher talking about that this morning. He said, when I got saved, everybody said, oh, throw off the chains now. You're free, you're free. He said, sometimes not every chain falls off. I can tell you that right now. When I gave my life back to Jesus at the Okuma campground on Okinawa, I lost the taste for alcohol. I was craving it. God had to deal with me about other things. Anger being one of them. But you see, he pointed out, he said, if there's a chain around a tree, we want to cut it. We want to go in there and try to get everybody to throw it off. He said, if you got the chain grows and grows and grows. Sometimes we know the chain grows into the tree, but it doesn't stop the growth. But he said, what will happen is if you grow as a believer, the chain will break by itself. It's when we stop growing, when we quit changing. So if you're battling something still, do not let condemnation take its day and ruin yours, because Jesus didn't come to bring condemnation to you. But he doesn't want you to be controlled by that anymore. I know I don't want to be controlled by that. Ask God to help you. Help you to grow. Help you to forgive. Help you to do better. And when you fail, receive his forgiveness. He forgave you on the cross. It was already done. I suggest you say, Lord, forgive me and receive it back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for the word that changes our life, Lord God. The seed, even the seed today that will grow and it'll blossom into much more fruit. It'll produce godly fruit. Lord, I thank you that you're leading us and you're guiding us each and every day. Father, that each and every day is new. Your mercies, as David said, your mercies are new every morning, Lord. Every morning. Father, your son told us to forgive 70 times 7 every day. 490 times a day. It's next to impossible for somebody to offend us that many times. If he told us to do it, it means you would do it. So, Father, we receive that forgiveness. We receive what you did on the cross, Jesus. Lord God, we give you our lives anew. We stand in the boldness of freedom, remembering to help those who may not yet understand or those who are still battling. So, Father, I thank you that you're moving right now. You're bringing peace to situations that are stormy. You're bringing courage in places where there's fear. You're bringing strength where there's weakness. Father, I thank you for the food we're about to eat. I bless it, Lord God, to its intended use. I bless this fellowship, Lord God. May it be a sweet aroma to you. Your children having dinner. And now, Lord, I thank you for your people. Lord God, I bless them. I ask, Father, that you continue to move in their lives. That you move the mountains. That you make straight their paths. Father, you show them the detours the enemy is setting up. Father, and that you will lead them and guide them. In Jesus' name, amen.